God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We are all at least vaguely familiar with the tale of Moses' parting of the Red Sea. It's a seminal story of our faith. The Hebrews are being chased by Pharaoh's elite army of 600 chariots, it says, and then all the other chariots in the land as well. And they are pushing towards the sea. And when they get there, Moses miraculously parts the water. The Hebrews cross on dry land. The Egyptian army follows. The waters close in upon them, and they drown. And if you're like me, you kind of cock your head and you turn the page and you dismiss this as yet another fanciful tale. Once again, we are being asked to believe something that actually defies imagination and understanding, like virgin births, for instance. So thank heaven for rabbis, is all I can say. Jewish scholars and rabbis through the ages have been neither as flippant or as dismissive. They've not accepted at face value any part of the scriptures, but rather have delved deeply into every turn of phrase. They have nitpicked word and context and tried to squeeze meaning from seemingly dry or preposterous stories. Midrash is the art of biblical interpretation, of plumbing the depths of the words of the Torah and seeking practical and theological understanding. So, with the help of the Midrash, let's look at this familiar and curious tale and dig a little deeper and see if it has any relevance for us today, especially as we welcome Heidi and Lucy in as full members of this faith community. So there are two aspects of this story that I want to explore this morning. The first is, and I do not intend to make any comparison with Heidi and Lucy in this regard, the first is that the Hebrews are recalcitrant, sarcastic, rebellious, fearful, and a little lazy. Seeing Pharaoh's army advancing on them, they turn accusingly and bitterly to Moses and say, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us here to die in the wilderness?" They are furious and they rebuke Moses sharply. "What have you done to us?" they demand. They go on to remind Moses they just wanted to be left alone to serve the Egyptians, to be slaves in peace. This exchange is pretty familiar. Whether we hear echoes of teens berating parents as we once did ours, or spouses and partners protesting apparently unfair treatment or intrusion, we recognize the vitriol, don't we? What they are saying in some ways is, "You were supposed to take care of us, and instead you are causing us pain." We sling the same indignation at other systems, at families, at churches, at schools, at municipalities, at governments. "We trusted you, and you let us down." We need to hear these voices when we read stories like this. We need the protests of the victimized, whether they are misguided or not. The freedom to express outrage and to question authority is a right, and it is a mandate woven through the scriptures. So don't take what is written in the Bible at face value. Question the things you don't understand. This is a key part of living a life in faith. Just because something seems peculiar or unbelievable, don't dismiss it and conclude that you are simply not part of the club, that you don't have enough faith or understanding or knowledge to belong.
these stories, this faith has not survived for so many thousands of years because people dismissed it and concluded it wasn't to be challenged, that it wasn't for them. The history of the Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, is one of holding the pretexts, the witnesses, the deities to the fire, of questioning and wondering, of engaging and protesting and praying and learning. To be a disciple, the definition of being a disciple is being a learner, someone who intentionally embarks on a path of faith with an inquiring heart and soul and mind. The other part of this story that is illuminated by the Midrash is that apparently the Red Sea did not part automatically when Moses raised his hand. Who knew? I was grateful to Reverend Emily Heath, who was the featured speaker at the Vermont Conference annual meeting. She pointed this out to us. According to the Midrash, the Israelites stood on the banks of the river and wailed in despair as they listened to the thundering hooves of Pharaoh's army approaching. And I caution here against a rush to judgment because I think I'd do the same thing. When disaster seems inevitable, some of us just panic and clutch onto each other for dear life and cry. But the Midrash says that a man named Nashon ventured forth into the waters, presumably in some way encouraged by Moses, fortified by Moses' command. The waters did not subside or part immediately, but Nashon kept on going. He kept going deeper, the waters covering first his sandals and then his tunic, and his belly and his shoulders. And though he stretched his neck taller and taller, pointing his chin to the sky, he kept on going as the sea threatened to consume him. It was only when the water tickled his nose that suddenly the sea parted and salvation was theirs. So going deeper. This is what our faith asks of us, isn't it? But not only that we prod the scriptures and engage in theological or cerebral inquiry, it asks that we venture forth every day, even when it seems ridiculous or frightening to do so. It can mean taking financial risks, changing your investments so that you no longer own stock in companies whose policies and products you do not support. Choosing a job that, though it pays less, gives you more time with your family. Or quitting your current job to do something new or maybe even go back to school. If you are retired, it may mean volunteering a couple of days a week wherever you sense you are needed, and though you really aren't feeling like it at all and worry that you won't be up to it. Going deeper may mean that you wade into the frightening waters of recovery, that you leave on the shore behind you behaviors or substances to which you have been enslaved, even though all you want to do is to remain bound by their toxic familiarity. Don't you know, the Hebrews cried, that all we wanted to do was to remain slaves? Follow me, Moses says, and Jesus after him. We're going deeper. Going deeper may mean initiating a conversation with someone that you really don't want to have. Maybe you express to your friend or partner or spouse your real feelings, that you take the risk of being rejected or dismissed and say what is really in your heart, that you go into the deep waters of truth, of confession of love or fear. Over the last 8 months, Heidi and Lucy and Reed Galvin and Hadley and I spent many rich and wonderful hours together in our faith formation course. We explored the history of our faith, its meaning, relevance, and workings in our own lives. And we talked about the cost and the joy of discipleship, what it means to actually say yes to God, to take Jesus's hand and say, okay, I'm in. Because of course it can be risky. It may mean that, like Nashon, there will be times when we feel called to walk into really deep, cold waters, when we will be called to give more than we think we can, to stand up, to speak up for the sake of justice and mercy. When we accept this invitation that is always ours, we agree to more than a tacit consideration of faith, because we are not doing this alone. Lucy and Heidi are acknowledging this morning that they are part of this community, that their journey is a shared one, that they need each and every one of you to support and uphold them in their inquiry and in their affirmation, just as you need them. And when they fear that they might drown, they need you to remind them that ours is a resurrection faith, that Jesus walks with them in the chill waters and dances with them when the sun comes up, that Jesus lives today with us all. This is why the church has through the centuries been called the body of Christ, because it is here that you are cradled and hugged and stroked and soothed by an eternal mother. Here your tears are kissed and are lifted, and you are lifted to your feet when you are down. Here you may be nudged into deep waters for Christ's sake, asked to venture into the struggle for justice and peace, pushed to question and wonder. Several times throughout the year, we hold gatherings for those considering becoming members of this church community. A new session begins this week, in fact. It's fitting, I think, that the youth should lead us, that today they are the leaders. They are walking into the sea with their heads held high, knowing that God is with them, amongst you, and beyond in all of their horizons of tomorrow. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace. And now let's join together in